We're going to go on to the next case of the day, which is Mir A. Ali versus Alberto Gonzalez. Mr. Nubani?
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Zuhair Nubani, and I represent the petitioner Mir Ali in this case. Your Honors, Mir Ali is requesting that his case be remanded back to the immigration judge in order for him to present his witness. Your Honors, the issue in this case is whether the immigration judge abused his discretion in denying the petitioner a continuance in order for his only witness, his spouse, Chetan Nancy Ali, to appear and testify when it was obvious she cannot appear on that particular day because of her hospitalization. It is well established that persons in removal proceedings are entitled to full due process. The Supreme Court has ruled that, and I cited that in my brief in Reno versus Flores. Regulations in the Code of Federal Regulations at 8 CFR 1003 also provide that an alien may be entitled to a continuation for good cause. An alien's request for a continuance for his removal hearing must be supported by a reasonable showing that the lack of preparation occurred despite a diligent good faith effort to proceed and the evidence sought is probative and significantly favorable to him. And that was rendered in the Board of Immigration Appeals, the Board of Immigration Appeals themselves have cited to that in the matter of Sibnum.
Mr. Nubani, is it possible that this case is moot?
That the case is moot? In a way it is, in a way it isn't. The main issue here, Your Honor, is the finding of visa fraud. And this is the situation. True, it's moot in the sense of continuing further in court for any for seeking any relief because the I-130 petition was denied. However, the visa fraud is the main issue here. If the finding is affirmed on visa fraud, Mr. Ali would never have any recourse to any immigration benefit in the future, according to the laws. And he has his children here who are on the verge of getting citizenship. That's his only family, and his wife, who he's still married to, Ms. Ali, is here. And if he does go back, he still has the right to have her petition for him in his home country. However, if the visa fraud issue is affirmed, that would never be possible. So that's the reason that we're here requesting that his wife be given an opportunity to testify to rebut the government's assertions that there was visa fraud in this case.
There is a jurisdictional bar applicable in this case, though, is there not? Because this is a discretionary denial of a continuance, which we don't have jurisdiction to review. Except under very limited circumstances.
That's my understanding. Under limited circumstances, you do have the right to review it in order if you find that the immigration judge abused his discretion, that he be ordered to allow further testimony in this case.
I don't understand that argument. If there's a jurisdictional bar, we don't get into reviewing whether there was an abuse of discretion.
Jurisdiction, as far as this court having the jurisdiction to review what happened, I don't understand that there is a bar to that. I thought under the law and regulations that this court does have the jurisdiction to review the decision. I'm not sure exactly what you're referring to. If there's a specific code or law as far as a jurisdictional bar?
8 U.S. Code, Section 1252A2B2, and also the Vasili case.
I was not aware of that, Your Honor. I don't know if the government in their response ever brought up the issue that there was a jurisdictional bar as far as this.
I don't think they did, but...
Don't remember seeing. I wasn't necessarily aware of it, Your Honor. I was going to go ahead and say that it has been held that due process was violated when an immigration judge demanded the only evidence he would accept of the bona fides nature of a marriage was to have the wife's testimony. And in the case of Aguiman versus the INS, he did not allow that. The wife did not appear because of a bipolar mistreatment, of a bipolar problem that the wife had. She did not appear at the trial. The judge said that he would only accept her testimony, and he made a decision. And in that case, the court found that the immigration judge abused his discretion in not allowing the wife to testify.
I think here, of course, he had 5 continuances or 6 continuances.
And I was coming to that. That's a little misleading, Your Honor. The reason of the previous continuances was because there was an I-13 petition that was being appealed, and it took many years during the appeals process. It took many years for the appeal to come down, and the judge was obligated under the law to continue it. And on at least 1 or 2 occasions, the government themselves asked for a continuance. So it's not as though 5 times he appeared and each time he said, I want a continuance to bring my wife. The only time that that happened was at the final hearing.
Now, the BIA noted that he had provided no corroboration for the medical emergency. In other words, not a note, not a, no corroboration.
Again, Your Honor, if you look at the testimony of the record, I believe it was just 2 days before the hearing that she relapsed and had to be taken into a hospital for treatment of her cancer. And contrary to what the government says in their brief, both him and his attorney both testified to that. She was not available because of her hospitalization. It's true that he did not have a specific paper that he brought with him, but I think his attorney, as an officer of the court, would not mislead or lie to the court that his wife was not available because of her hospitalization. And the record, he begs the judge, in fact, says that it's germane and critical to his case that his wife be at least given a chance to testify. They have a continuance for her to come at a time when she's available. It would greatly help his case. And, in fact, if she were to testify, I feel confident that a finding of visa fraud would not have been decided by the judge in that case. If the wife can't testify to the fact that she truly was married to him, and in fact they're still married to this day, I think even if the judge, you know, had to order him removed, his wife could further apply for him once he went to his home country.
Are these children the fruit of this marriage?
No, Your Honor, they're not. They're the children of a prior marriage. However, his wife, his second wife, Mrs. Jetta Nancy Ali, applied for them, which she has the right under the law to do.
Government investigation in I-130 petition proceeding concluded that he had paid her to marry him, and it was not a bona fide marriage. What input did he have into that decision? And
That was a one-sided conclusion from the government that he paid her. That's an assertion they made. He denied that adamantly, that he paid her and that they truly loved each other and married because of their love for each other, and not in order for him to pay her to get any type of specific immigration benefit. The government has always asserted that but gave no proof from testimony from anyone, be it her or him.
What was that statement based on in that government investigation?
Well, I assume the government just, you know, this is what they're saying pursuant to various things that they had looked into the case and determined that, in their opinion, it wasn't a bona fide marriage. Where they come with the payment, I have no idea. I guess they just throw that in as a conclusion from what they saw as it, in their opinion, not being a bona fide marriage. I see my time has elapsed. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Nubani. Good morning, Mr. Potter.
Good morning, Your Honor, and may it please the Court. Jonathan Potter on behalf of the Attorney General. The immigration judge in this case did not violate any law or regulation in denying the motion for a continuance. Ali's case was originally calendared for a hearing in 1999. 5 years later, Ali came into immigration court claiming that his wife could not appear at the immigration hearing because she was ill and, according to him, in a hospital. In support of this, he presented absolutely no evidence other than his own testimony.
How about his attorney?
His attorney, Your Honor, at first argued for a continuance. But at the end of that argument, when the government pointed out there was no documentation, the attorney said, and this is in the record on page 176, I don't want to make a representation to that fact. Apparently, meaning I don't want to represent that she is, in fact, ill. To this day, Ali has not presented any evidence, either before the board or this court, regarding her illness, nor has he made any proffer to what she would testify to. There's nothing in this record that would indicate what evidence she would provide, what she would testify to, and how it would help Ali's case.
So the attorney for the petitioner did not corroborate Nance's illness?
He at first said, Your Honor, I was told that this morning that she's in the hospital by the petitioner. He didn't say, I checked on it myself. And then after the government pointed out that he had presented no evidence to corroborate it, he then makes that statement, well, I don't want to represent to the government or to the court. Mm-hmm. So there's no evidence other than Mr. Ali's statement to his attorney and to the court that, in fact, she was in the hospital. And considering the context of this case, the fact that he had already been accused of engaging in immigration fraud, and his I-130 had already been denied, and I want to answer a question that was asked earlier. It was asked, you know, what chance did he have to regarding that I-130? He had a chance before the service to say, my I-130 is valid, and that was appealed to the immigration court, and they upheld the determination by the service that, in fact, the I-130 was properly denied, and that's in the record at AR-180.
What about the jurisdictional bar?
Your Honor, this case is one in where he's not really alleged a due process or any other kind of violation, and it is squarely on a jurisdictional bar in this case, because his claim really is not one of due process. It's one that purely discretionary continuance issue, and that this court would have no jurisdiction over. If there are no further questions, we ask that this court affirm the immigration board's determination. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Potter. Mr. Nubani, I think you have some time left. A minute.
Very quickly, I would like to rebut as far as what the government is saying about the testimony, what his wife would testify to. It is obvious in the record, his attorney, the petitioner's attorney, asserts to it that her testimony would be crucial. What would she say? That we are married, that this was a bona fide marriage, that no fraud took place. And I think that would be crucial testimony and evidence in this case. And that she should be given the right to testify on behalf of Mr. Ali. This is very crucial because of the visa fraud allegations and final finding by the judge. As far as the jurisdictional bar, I disagree about just asking for a continuance. I think the due process was violated if he doesn't have his whole case presented fairly. And having a witness as his wife, who's the sole witness really in this case, who I think is the main important piece or part to rebut the visa fraud, is due process. And the fact that she wasn't allowed to come in, I think, violated his due process rights. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you to both counsel. And the case will be taken under advisement.